Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Township of Derry Board of Supervisors public hearing. The first one is scheduled for 6 o'clock. I apologize at 6.07 p.m., but you are calling the meeting to order at 6.07 p.m. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024. At this time, Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct a roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. Seeing as all board members, four are present, one is playing on the phone. This time, the first item on new business for this hearing is public hearing regarding conditional use application number 2023-03 is filed by Mary Driscoll, amending the previously approved conditional use application number 2022-04 regarding the property located at 981 Bullfrog Valley Road. I'm going to turn it to Mr. Emmerich and Mr. Habig just to introduce the matter.
I'll give you a quick refresher. So Mary Driscoll has filed this conditional use to amend two of the conditions. The conditions that she's looking to amend from the decision that was adopted on June 28, 2022 are: the hours of operation for the proposed use shall be limited to 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Saturday. The facility shall be closed on Sundays. And item K, the proposed use shall be limited to one-on-one training, small group training not to exceed one trainer instructor to six client ratio, ACL recovery programs, physical therapy, a return to play after injury program, sports psychology, nutritionist, a sports metrics injury prevention program, and space rental for small group instruction clinics not to exceed 12 clients. No other activities, events, and/or uses shall be permitted as part of the proposed use on the property. Derry Township Planning Commission at their meeting on January 9th recommended that the conditional use application 2023-03 be granted with the conditions listed in my recommendations. The Board of Supervisors is required to ultimately render a decision on this conditional use application within 45 days after the last hearing before the board. Since this is a public hearing, I'll turn the floor over to Pat first.
Thank you, Chuck. As Chuck indicated, this is a public hearing. It's been advertised as such pursuant to the NPC and the Township Zoning Ordinance. and the application is made by Ms. Mary Driscoll for the property located at 981 Bullfrog Valley Road, Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Dauphin County parcel number 24-057-094, otherwise known as the Mary's Training Center. as Chuck indicated, this was previously before you, and there is a prior conditional use decision that was issued in June of 2022. My understanding is the application is requesting certain revisions to that prior decision. So with that, before we get started with some housekeeping and marking some exhibits for the record, I do see there's a lot of individuals in the audience this evening. So what I will do is I see Ms. Driscoll is here with her attorney. Can you both identify yourself?
Scott Vermobile.
Mary Driscoll.
And what I will ask, is there anyone else in the audience that is requesting party status in this application? Seeing none, let the record reflect no one has requested party status. Before I hand it over, what I will do is mark some exhibits for purposes of the record. What we'll mark as Board 1 is a copy of the December 4, 2023 application submitted to the Township. What we'll mark as Board 2 is a copy of the Notice of Public Hearing that was advertised in the newspaper. What we'll mark as Board 3 are two photographs showing that the property was posted pursuant to the NPC and the zoning ordinance. What we'll mark as Board 4 is a copy of the list of abutting properties that received notice of this evening's hearing. What we'll mark as Board 5 is a copy of the proof of publication for this evening's hearing. What we'll mark as Board 6 There's a copy of the January 19, 2024 correspondence from the Derry Township Planning Commission regarding its recommendation. And we'll mark as Board 7 is a copy of the prior conditional use decision from this board dated June 28, 2022. Any objections from the applicant on Boards 1 through 7?
No objection.
Seeing none? Are there any questions or comments from the board for me at this point before we hand it over to the applicant?
So I think we should just know that what, for everybody's benefit, what's the standard here? This is an amendment, a requested amendment to a previously approved conditional use application. So what standard are we, are the applicants or us being held to in terms of whether the request is approved or denied?
Sure. So as you recall, the reason this initially was before you for a conditional use was because the proposed use fell under the zoning ordinance section, which regarded uses similar to specified permitted uses, which means it's a use that's not otherwise specifically provided for in the zoning ordinance. So what I will say, that's section 225-501.40, and there are some criteria associated with those uses. Those being the proposed use shall be similar to and of the same general character as a by right permitted use in the zone district in which it is located. That the use may not substantially injure or detract from the lawful existing permitted use of other properties. That the proposed use shall not generate noise or traffic in excess of other by right uses permitted in the district. That the proposed use shall not generate sewer or water usages in excess of other by-right uses permitted in the district. That the net density shall not exceed that which is permissible for the zoning district in which it is proposed. And further, that in zoning districts where residential uses are permitted, parking and site circulation shall be designed to be residential in scale and appearance. I'm sorry, and there is one more. One shade tree per one required parking space shall be designed and constructed as part of the development. So those are the specific provisions governing those uses that are not specifically provided for that come before you for a conditional use, which is what this applicant did previously in June of 2022, which was the basis of your June 28, 2022 written decision on the application. My understanding is that the applicant is requesting I'll let them present their case, but I believe they're requesting two revisions or amendments to your previously issued June 28, 2022 decision. So the standard is still the ones that I just went through from that section of the zoning ordinance. It's just, you know, they've already established the standard that's set forth in that provision, subject to the conditions of your prior decision. So the question is, if they're requesting some revisions to those prior conditions in the existing condition, conditional use approval, the question is whether or not those changes will comply with those sections that I just read through. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And I can go through that again at some point if there are further questions from the board.
This zoning area is a residential. It's R1 with a commercial overlay, correct?
This is R1 residential zone with Sandhill Road overlay. Any other questions from the board at this point?
Just, I think it's more for everyone. Just so residential, when we say it's R1, it's zone residential, that's probably pretty obvious to most people what that would include. But Chuck, in this particular instance, that overlay is pretty specific. The Sandhill Road overlay zoning district, could you just give everybody an idea of what that means?
Sure. Historically, this little area of Sandhill Road was neighborhood commercial in the last zoning ordinance. So the overlay, the Sandhill Road 012 overlay, was done to preserve some of those less residential, more commercial uses.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so with that, Scott, can you identify yourself again for the record?
Yeah, sure.
Please, yeah, absolutely. Just make sure the mic is on and then everybody
hear me.
Same ground rules for every year. We just make sure when you're speaking, you introduce yourself so that it's clear in the audio recording who's speaking, and that for the purposes of the meeting minutes, that we have everybody correctly identified. So that's how you understand.
Okay. My name is Scott Renoble. I'm an attorney.
Could you spell your last name?
Grenoble. I'm an attorney that is helping Mary here. I was not involved during the first round, and so part of my job has been to try to piece together is how we got here. I'm more than happy to speak to that part. And I also live in Derry Township. As far as kind of how we got here and why we got here, to the extent that it's helpful, I think, you know, Mary had a vision, and there was kind of a genuine disconnect when she came before the board last time as to the process, and a little bit of naivete on her part on that process. And candidly, without being too critical, I don't know that she was really served well by the engineering firm that was helping her, because it was not, you know, kind of made clear to her what the implication of the decision was until very, very recently, and that's what the impetus was for asking for these changes. It was not anything intentional on her part. She did not, you know, appreciate it and was not well advised as to the limitations that were imposed and how that was going to kind of affect the vision that she had for this place. And candidly, it's a vision, I think, for a facility that's unlike anything kind of in the mid-state that is training focused. It is really first and foremost, training facility to kind of build on what she has done at Hockersville, which I think many of us are aware of, the successes that she's had from my own wife has been a patient going through 9 knee surgeries, and they've helped her back to pretty much full recovery, to Olympic teammates and things like that. So they've done some really good things. I think they've been a good partnership with the township for the past couple of years. And so I think that's her vision, is to just kind of take that to the next level. As a parent that had 2 girls come through the school district sports process, I'm sure that some, if not all of you, have spent hours going back and forth between the Spooky Nook and In the Net and the West Shore and docks and everywhere else. And this will be, I think, probably or could be the only place within the township where our kids can actually practice at a local facility. So that buttressed with the physical therapy parts and things like that are what the vision is. And just to address some of the concerns, and I do want to thank Mr. Emmerich. And really, we had a very good dialogue with the Planning Commission a couple weeks back that really talked through these issues and I thought was very kind of helpful and enlightening as to the concerns and what we could or couldn't do to maybe address some of those concerns, and I'm happy to talk about those today. But I know that 2 of the primary concerns, and probably the most primary concern that we heard from planning, was the suggestion that there were going to be tournaments and public events and things like that at this facility. And I think there was even a misquote in the Sun that maybe led to some of those conclusions. That has never been the thought process for Mary or this facility. There will be no tournaments, there will be no events, there will be no public viewing. The space, the field space, is a training facility. It is just practice. And Mary even suggested to me, she's like, I don't want parents there, I don't want anybody there. These kids are supposed to be training here when they train, and those distractions and things are not what they're about. To the point that she's planning to post signage and things like that, but this is not a spectator at all facility. So I just want to allay any of the concerns about that was never part of this goal and will never be. It is simply training for our kids and our local teams, and then the rehab and that sort of part of it is certainly going to be an important part of it. I know there was also concern at planning about people parking on Bullfrog, and that was, you know, certainly a concern. And we suggested, you know, no parking signs, whatever the board might see as an appropriate way to address that, but we would certainly embrace that. As a parent who's been through it, it's, you know, some of this is going to be drop-off, drop their students and kids off, and some of it is going to be parking. And the expansion of the hours is in part to help meter that a little bit, so it's not all shoved into a shorter time frame to kind of meter that flow in and out. And we think, and I know Mary has also said that she intends to stagger things around the school district traffic because there's a lot of traffic that comes in during certain focal periods for St. Joe's. So she's very conscious of those issues and plans to work both with St. Joan directly in her own scheduling to make sure that there isn't this overflow and overlap of those heavy traffic times. I could probably go on, but is there
why don't we do this? Is Mary going to testify this evening?
She's more than happy to speak.
Why don't we have her sworn in and then she can take a screen and ask a question?
Hi.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I'll be back?
Yes.
Any specific questions I can kind of address? I know that Ms. Ramrick and the Planning Commission did scale back some of the things and clarified some of the things in the application. And we can certainly embrace all of their kind of modifications and conditions and work within that.
And you're referring to the Planning Commission letter dated that's been marked in 4-6?
Yes, so
January 2024. I think maybe specifically have Mary identify the conditions in the original decision that she's looking to have revised or changed and why. And then if you want to go through that Planning Commission letter and just indicate that it's a comply or there are issues or it's all will comply. Does that sound fair enough, Board? Just to get as specific as to exactly what you're looking for to revise in the original decision.
I believe that on the initial decision it was paragraph 12 on the original decision of from the public hearing May 24, 2022.
So paragraph 12 of what's been marked as board 7.
There you go. So I didn't have any of them. So the first request was to expand those hours to 7 days a week, as indicated by letter I in the Planning Commission's recommendation. So we expand that from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Monday through Sunday. And Mary, do you want to indicate why you're requesting that be expanded a little bit?
Yes, I train kids before school. I'd like to spread them out so that I can continue to train small groups. So if I'm restricted on my time, I'm going to put more people in at the same time so that I can pay bills.
So again, part of it, I think, was to meter the flow of people in and out, and candidly to expand the availability to more kids, if that need is there, with the understanding that at those hours traffic is relatively modest to begin with, and again you can spread it out as opposed to cramming all into a smaller time period.
Currently at Hockersville, I train at 4:30 a.m. So.
So that's the first.
That is the first one, correct. And then I think, if I'm remembering, it was number 11 from exhibit number 7, which was the clinics and limiting them to a maximum of 12 clients. And again, this is where I think the disconnect came to in terms of, and I did review kind of the hearing transcript and the discussions that were had, and I think maybe there was just a kind of misunderstanding or a disconnect of what the goal was versus kind of what was embraced by the board at that point. And with a facility with that much turf, I don't think the intent was ever to have just 12 people on 12,000 or 28,000 square feet. It would have been impossible to even, you know, try to approach and make this work. I think Mr. Emmerich kind of looked at it and said, well, that space could be sectioned off to have a couple of groups of 12. But part of the goal here is to be able to have the Hershey field hockey team come in. And there's no way that you can bring in just 12 girls. So the other request was to expand that. And candidly, based on our discussions with the Planning Commission, and they kind of brought it up, that the number of people that are going to be able to get into that facility is going to be self-limiting to a certain degree, because parking is limited and the drop-off situation is going to be self-limited. You're not going to be able to get 300 people in there, even if you could or wanted to. Obviously, the fire code also has to play the... So the request, and ultimately I think the commission, the Planning Commission, basically kind of took the numbers off the table and focused on what it was going to be used for, and the focus was that it was not going to be used for spectators and events and team competition and things like that. It was purely going to be training and clinics and things like that, which you can only get so many people into that facility at a given time. Again, it dovetails with the expansion of the hours so that you can spread that out and try to service as many of the kids as we can. But those were the two main things. And then as it relates to the Planning Commission's recommendation, January 19th, 2024, their recommendation was to approve or recommend the application as it was of 2023-03, subject to these kind of clarifications that they, you know, kind of talked through and we embrace. We can certainly work with all of those, and we're very appreciative of the consideration that went into kind of coming up with these kind of balanced approach to see how this is going to go. You know, with these limitations, it's either going to work or it's not going to work, just from a practical standpoint. And I think it would be a great benefit for the township if it works. And if there are issues, then we're going to have to deal with those and come back before you. But we can certainly live with these accommodations that the planning suggested.
Let me, before I open it up for questions, I do remember the testimony from that hearing. I remember when Mary testified. And Scott, what I would tell you is I don't think there... I felt like we had a very clear understanding at the time of the hearing of what Mary's plan was. We were supportive of it. We were also recognizing that we were putting a facility that was not zoned, right? We understood the request. It was a conditional use request, so it wasn't not zoned to be built in that area. And that the questions we had a lot to do with how the operation of Mary's business would impact the rest of the neighborhood, because it's not solely residential, because we know the school is up the street. But I for one was thinking, okay, if it's something that's consistent with the kind of activity in a school, and I think that's why the hours of operation and the days of the week that it operated was significant in terms of granting the conditional use request. I don't think that there was a misunderstanding. I think Mary was pretty clear. I think we all as a board, the questions we asked were pretty specific around traffic, around the actual use, because all of us, most of us have had children in sports in this community, travel sports, club sports, so we understand the kind of, you know, your example of spooky that was right on money, I think. I, for one, was thinking that when Mary presented it the first time. Not that that's what she was trying to build, but that this rehabilitation center, this training facility, seemed like it was appropriate. I didn't see a real issue as long as it didn't cause traffic issues in the neighborhood, and as long as the hours of operation, keeping in mind, at the time that we pointed this out, that there's a home literally across the street. This is my fault. I mean, I will accept responsibility for it. This facility is so much larger than what I envisioned up there. But I haven't heard any complaints from the neighbors, so I'm assuming that that's not a problem for them. I don't know what I would tell them, because this was always proposed. I just didn't realize it would be that big. But I do want to dissuade you of the notion that somehow there may have been a disconnect. I feel like the disconnect came for me when I read things in the newspaper about how it was, and I'm not putting this on you, Mary, but what I read in the paper talked about tournaments for all kinds of sports. And I thought, geez, that is specifically not, we asked those questions and we were told, and so we were comfortable with the answers we received, and that's why we granted the conditional use request. So I understand why you're coming in now. You know, you were clear, I read it, so I understand what the request is. I do know people have questions, but I don't want you to believe that we somehow didn't understand the request, and I also want you to understand that the conditions that were placed as part of the conditional use application and our granting of that request, that was all based on the testimony here. None of these things were things that we arbitrarily came up with. We basically listened to the presentation, and I thought Mary gave a really good presentation, and I think that's just literally what community development included in the conditional use approval. So this wasn't, none of us had any specific, you know, hours of operation. We didn't have any. It was all based on her testimony, on what she needed. So I just want to make sure that is clear, because it's not, we try not to interfere with the uses that an applicant comes to the board with. We try not to, we want you to be successful. But I just wanted to make sure the record is clear from my perspective in terms of how we got here today.
And if I could just follow up on that notion. If you took it as me saying that the disconnect was up there, that was not my intent. I think the disconnect was here, and I think the disconnect was with her engineer and who was working with her. I cannot fault, based on the record that's created, anything that you folks did, and I apologize if that's how you took it.
No, and I don't mean to suggest. I just want to make sure you understand.
That was not my intention.
And I don't think that, certainly don't think Mary came up here and told us, sold us a false bill of goods either. I do feel like I thought we had a pretty good conversation. She did have an engineer here representing her. So the things, I take it, your word, there was a disconnect between them. I think where you and I are all square on what you're representing.
I hope so, yeah. That was not my suggestion. It was really a disconnect between what her vision was and what was presented, perhaps, but not from your perspective, though, I think.
Why don't we do this? Because Mary's the only one who's sworn in. Mary, you stood there and you listened to your attorney go through an overview of the situation in your request, right?
Yep.
If you were to have testified to that, would you have testified consistently with how your attorney described it?
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing that your attorney stated that you disagree with?
No.
Okay.
And we do have questions.
Yeah, I have.
You guys can go first. It doesn't matter.
You guys can go first. I can wait. You know, that's fine.
So, I'll defer to everybody with questions.
Hi, Seb. It's good to see you. Good to see you too, Mary. As Chris mentioned, the conditional use that we approved 2 years ago, we didn't come up with those conditions. Those were basically just from the testimony. So I know that there's been some confusion that the township arbitrarily came up with the days of the week. We didn't come up with any of that. It was straight from the testimony that we received 2 years ago. What I will say, I know all of us have had kids that are playing sports. This is different because, and we talked about it 2 years ago, this isn't in an industrial park. This isn't along the side of a highway like Spooky Nook or like Frozen Ropes or any of those other places. This is in a neighborhood. And we were really aware of that when we talked about it 2 years ago. We were very concerned about the parking. We were very concerned about the traffic that was coming into that area because it's different. There are rural roads. We have a lot of concern about parking. I saw that the Planning Commission, again, has lots of concerns about parking. Now, if you've got kids that are going over to In the Net or they're going over to Frozen Rose, that parking lot fills up really quick. And people are parking along the road. We have lots of concerns about people parking on the road. I personally also have concerns that teenagers that would be coming in would potentially use SJA. And then they would be walking across a road at night in the dark to get over to the facility. That's really dangerous. They were not allowed to do that. You'd have to have an approval to use off-site parking, but kids don't know that. You know, kids are going to park at SJA, or they're going to park up the street. And then they're going to be walking across the road at 10 o'clock at night. I think that if this conversation with all of these conditions would have happened 2 years ago, I think we would have looked at it a little bit differently. You know, we didn't ask for a traffic study at that point because the way that we were looking at it was a really amazing facility for physical therapy and sports training. And that's why we had asked so many questions about tournaments. We were concerned about people coming up there. And yeah, the high schoolers, I just don't see how it's like 30, what, 30? How many parking spaces are there?
There's 32 parking spots.
32 parking spots. I mean, how many people are you expecting? Like, if you have the turf area filled and you also have your physical therapy clients there, how many people do you think will be in that facility at one time maximum?
I can't give you a straight number, but what I can tell you is that I have full control over the schedule. There's going to be no tournaments. There's going to be no public. So for me, I have control over how many drivers will be there. We do have people carpooling. So the traffic study that was done with RGS, we doubled 32 parking spots, equaling 64 people is how we did that. I do all the scheduling myself, so I'm not a large corporation. It's just me, and I can control the schedule and who's driving, picking up. I won't be allowing people to park on the street. I won't be allowing them to park down the road. I have control over where they park.
Okay. And I noticed, too, on the write-up that you provided to the conditional use narrative that you provided to the Planning Commission, in the paragraph, the one paragraph, it says it will never be utilized for tournaments. And then it also says it'll be open from 5 to 9 p.m. So is it 9 p.m. or is it 10 p.m.? I think that was also a question the Planning Commission had. Because of this, it's Exhibit A.
Yeah, I'm not sure what was in the narrative. I know when we talked through it at planning, that the 10 o'clock was agreeable to planning.
Okay.
Again, it was our intent to try to meter and minimize the flow at any particular time, and realizing that, you know, certain people can do later versus earlier. You know, I think she said 4:30 at Hockersville, and that's, you know, not what we're asking for here, not what the Planning Commission recommended. But we're asking for the 10 based on what the Planning Commission recommended.
Okay. But in this write-up, it also has in the one paragraph, it says it will never be utilized for tournaments. But then in the next paragraph, it says it will not be used for large tournaments. It says there will not be large tournaments offered.
I think it's more semantical. No tournaments, no events, no competitions. This is training only. And I don't know what else to say.
No.
But I get it. You get it.
From parents, there's only so much you can say to a parent. Like, you're not staying to watch your kid. Like,
it's in the handbook that we wrote. You can't stay and watch your child. And there's 32 parking spots. Unless your child cannot use the restroom, which in Kitty Kickers, there are going to be 3 and 4 year olds, and that's during the day when we are, you know, having no one else there, the parents may come in and help their child use the restroom. Other than that, no, a parent can't come.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're willing to enforce whatever the board will allow us to do, either through contract with the parents and the organizations, signage, you know, and there's obviously staff on site to enforce that. We recognize that these are major concerns for the township, and we take it very seriously.
And these wouldn't be concerns if this was in a different part of the township. So I don't mean to be over the top on it's. The location of where this is, it's in a residential area. We already granted a conditional use for it, knowing what we talked about 2 years ago. So it's just a different part of the township than other parts of the township where they're rural roads. Having people up there at 10 o'clock at night, and SJA, you know, their latest events, they have a basketball league during the wintertime. One or two times a week, they have people there till 8:30. So this is different, like having folks there at 10 o'clock, and I've got teenagers myself. They're not, I like to think they're great kids, but you've got teenagers out there at 10 o'clock at night, beating horns and things like that. You know, the kids that will be there at 10 o'clock are teenagers. They're not going to be the kitty kicker kids. They're going to be big kids there. And sometimes big kids are kids, and it's a residential neighborhood. So I'm sure other people might have questions.
Just riding along with Ms. Nutter saying, I know you're talking about you have full control of the schedule. You know, who's driving. How are you going to enforce that? Have somebody walking in the parking lot and checking cars?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we fully staff. Someone will be in the parking lot, someone will be at the front desk, managing the schedule, they'll be over.
So you're only going to allow 31 cars in that parking lot?
Correct.
What if there are 32 cars in there? What if 33 cars in there?
My parking lot will...
You've got to go bye-bye. I know it's kind of a weird question, but...
To be honest, the question was posted there. I know you've been doing a lot of talking, but she's the way...
Because 2 years ago, me talking got me into trouble, right? We're here today because of that. So I had to hire an attorney, and here we are. So my goal is to be able to stay open and pay the mortgage with 32 parking spots.
Right, and we don't want to stop you from doing that. You're a small business.
Right.
Going, so.
Okay. So what's the question?
Well, what I'm looking for is, I guess the one thing is, how are you going to enforce the 31 car one? I know you're going to drive by schedule.
Yep.
Like Natalie said, teenagers will be teenagers. Adults will be adults.
Right. So right now I'm in a residential area on 309 Hoppersville Road, and I actually only have 16 to 18 spots, depending on where waste management needs my dumpster. And I've managed that really well. Over the last 3 years, I've had zero complaints, zero accidents. And I have a lot of teenagers coming in and out. During our sports metrics program over the summer, we make sure that the parent pulls in, they drop off, and they leave. So I have two interns in the parking lot making sure that that's safe.
You're also talking to you. 20 people on staff. They're not all going to be there at the same time, I assume.
No.
Okay. But then you're talking the potential for 48 participants within the field area?
Right, yep.
Potentially 48.
Potentially, yep. Okay. We'll see. I'm not sure. I'm not saying a number. 48? Is this
where
we're saying numbers?
What happens down the road if this isn't, if you can't do this? Would you come back and say, well, we're going to ask if we can expand the parking lot? Is that what the next ask may be?
I hope not to be back.
I hope not either. I'm trying to look forward on it.
Right, understood. No, this will be my last time standing here asking for anything.
And I know there was a little bit of naivete on your part and some bad advice at the beginning here. I get that. I don't think we're going to say, we might negotiate something, but I don't think we're going to say no to anything. But again, you're a small business, and we want to see you succeed. But I do, human nature, I don't see the 31 parking spaces working.
Okay.
And I'd like to see you have some kind of vision, or your lawyer, or somebody has some kind of vision down the road. Well, what do we do now? I can't enforce this now. So what do I do to accommodate the people that are coming in? Because again, what Natalie was saying, there's teenagers. They're going to want to drive themselves. You know, they're not going to want to, and maybe they'll take three or four kids with them. But maybe not. Anyway, I guess it was more of a statement than a question. It's a future question.
I just want to make sure we're...
If there are folks that are renting the facility, will they have to sign off in regards to the parking too, so that their folks are not parking in SJA, 100%. So their folks are not parking on the side of the road,
yes.
Or anywhere else where someone would have to walk to get to your facility?
Yes.
And I think by reference, we're going to incorporate whatever the decision is here today into all of those contracts.
Okay.
So that they are aware of them, they're on notice of them, and there will be sanctions that they just won't be able to participate if they're not going to comply. We don't want our potential people using it to jeopardize our use or our relationship with the township. So enforcement is going to be a big part of any agreements to bring groups in.
And do you think that that by expanding the hours and expanding the amount of people that can be in the facility, does that change? Does this proposed use of this quoted language, does this proposed use, is it similar to and of the same general character as the by right permanent use of the zoning district?
Yes, nothing changes,
But if you lived across the street, would that still be your answer?
My neighbors are all happy. I've had no issues with my neighbors.
Right, but if you're going to be open until 10 o'clock at night, people are coming and going all the way up 7 days, maybe the hours are adjusted on the weekend, 7 days a week. You know, before it was 5 days a week, and then basically the morning until noon on Saturday and close Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that in St. Joan of Arc, there's, you know, sometimes there's mass set up at the church, at the school up there, so I know during the course of the week, their schedule changes a little bit, and I'm just, I want you to sit in our shoes. My sense is we already stretched to make your use acceptable in that zone. And now we're stretching even further to make it acceptable in that zone. And I don't know if, I want to believe that everything you're saying about the use in that facility is exactly how it's going to play out. But I what happens if the school buses or, you know, buses are coming in, dropping kids, like travel kids. I'm trying to think of, okay, now it's not vehicles coming in there, but what if you have buses coming in 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night? And I'm just thinking through, is this, if I lived in that neighborhood, would I think this was changing the nature of that neighborhood?
I'm sorry, are we referring to buses? Are we talking about St. John buses or buses
coming in? No, buses coming to your facility. So Rick had asked the question, and Mary had said, well, you know, people can carpool, and I get that, but let's, are you going to turn down, you know, you're a small business. The inclination is you're going to want to generate revenue from this facility. We get that. You're also going to have, but we don't have any restrictions on here in terms of, we've all talked about, because the nature of your use as represented the last time did seem to lend itself to people driving up in cars, dropping somebody off, maybe dropping a couple people off, but not large-scale events. Now we're talking about splitting the field into four quadrants, extending the hours of operation. I understand what you're saying about, by extending the hours of operation, you allow sort of a spreading out of the activity. But let's say that's you choose not to do that. Let's say you choose to jam in. Let's say you sell it to somebody else, and I trust you. But let's say you sell it to somebody else, and it's all the same uses, but now they're going to jam people in from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. Now the only thing we have limiting them is the use in the actual use on the inside. And I'm still trying to wrap my head around what is that actual use? Is it because I guess I'm just a little shell-shocked about what I saw in writing, in fact, from various sources about how that was being marketed or what people thought was going to happen in there. And it was very different than the explanation you gave us that we supported.
I wish the information came from me, not a newspaper.
Yeah, I think we have another one or two or three hearings this evening. I do want to ask some questions of Mary, just so we have some type of a record from the applicant. It was mentioned this evening that there's two paragraphs that you're requesting to revise, but it's actually four. The paragraphs 11 and 12, those are the findings of fact. And then the conditions of the actual conditional approval, I believe it's condition F and condition K. So, Mary, you're asking for the board to consider revisions to paragraphs 12 and 11 in the findings of fact, and conditions F and K in the conditional approval?
Yes.
Okay. And my understanding is your testimony is that there's no proposed ordinance.
No.
No special events.
No.
No, you're not allowing any spectators within the facility.
Correct.
Just get the double no's there. You said no.
Correct, and correct.
Yes. Okay.
Your statements are correct.
Okay.
Yeah. There are scrimmages in there, too.
Are you intending to have any competitions in there?
Correct. No. competitions?
No competitions.
No competitions.
Strictly training.
Training facilities.
And rehabilitation.
Correct.
Because I believe your testimony at the prior application, prior hearing, was in the reason it kind of fit into this, not otherwise specifically identified in the zoning ordinance, is because it was kind of a hybrid as a training facility as well as a rehabilitation facility, correct? That is still the plan?
Same plan.
Okay. And aside from paragraphs 11 and 12 and conditions F and K in the June 28, 2022 decision, you are agreeing with and you still will comply with all the other conditions and requirements set forth in that June 2022 decision?
Correct.
Okay. Specific to paragraph 12 and condition, and I'm trying to go quick, I know there's an error, but condition F. Those are the conditions and findings related to the hours of operation and the days of the week. You're now requesting the ability to have the facility open 7 days a week, right? I'm asking the question.
Yes, correct.
Okay. From 5 a.m. in the morning until, is it 10 p.m. or 9 p.m.?
10 p.m. is the request. Is
10 p.m. is, I'm requesting 5 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week.
Okay. And that is for both the training facility and the rehab services, or is it one or the other?
But I mean, just the facility itself.
Okay. All right. And then with respect to paragraphs 11 and condition K, is your requested revision is specific to the limitation not to exceed 12 clients?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Is your request for the revision to paragraph 11 and condition K specific only to the limitation on the 12 clients at a time? Meaning you're asking for not to have a limitation of 12?
Correct.
Okay. So the question, I think, and you've indicated that you have 32 parking spaces.
Correct.
There hasn't been a number that I've heard from you this evening that you're asking for.
Correct.
I think the board, are you asking for an indefinite amount of people to be using your facility at any given time?
I'm just asking to not, I won't oversee my parking, so whether that's,
so
if I can stay within my parking spots, I can have that many people.
So are you asking for 32 as the max?
No, 64, two per parking spot. Is that correct?
Two per parking spot, people in 64.
And where did you come up with that number?
That is in the travel or the traffic study done by RGS that was presented to you for the in June of 2022.
There's a traffic study in the conditional use record. Has that been submitted in this application? And has that, is your traffic engineer here? Is anyone here, is an engineer here for you this evening?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where we got why parking and attendance in the facility are connected. I mean, I do understand to a certain extent, but it doesn't address the issue of, you know, if you have no limit on the number of people that can be in the facility, you could literally have buses come up and drop 30 people off at a time, and you could literally have several hundred people in there at a time. And I hear what you're, Mary, I hear what you're telling us in terms of what it should be used for, but I think that's part of, again, I go back to like part of the, I don't think there was a disconnect when you testified the first time. You told us what you were going to use the facility for, and you told us how large those groups would be, and you told us why the hours of operation. You know, we went through a lot of detail on that. And now I feel like we're changing the entire thing, and that parking spaces are sort of a misnomer because we know that I'm good with people carpooling, rather, you know, and some of those spots are going to be taken up by your faculty, and they're not going to need spots for participants. So I don't know why we, I think if we're going to go to the trouble trying to figure out how many people should be in that, like, occupying at any one time, I don't know if we should tie it to parking spots, because I think unless we say there's no other form of vehicle that can park, I mean, we wouldn't do that. Like, there's only an automobile could come and park those spots.
Why don't we do it this way? Mayor, it sounds like you're asking, you haven't said it, but it sounds like you're asking for a limit of 64 at the, right? Is that what I'm hearing? Or 32?
I'm asking to stay within my conditional use, my what I'm allowed to use the facility for, and not oversee any other thing. I think it is hard as a small business owner to put a number on something. I mean, no one's ever told me on Hoppersville how many people I can have, but I've never overfilled it. I don't bring buses. I would never bring in buses to train large groups.
So given the understanding that this use is was presented to the board as a hybrid type use that's not specifically provided for, can you give the board an example of why you would need 32 people at one time or 64 people at one time? Given the understanding of the use combining a training facility and a rehab facility, why would you need that number, that high of a number at the property? Does that make sense?
I think you want me to nail down a number, and the number would be if there was small group training happening in the turf facility, if a physical therapist was treating a person, if someone was in the Hydro Works treadmill, and if there was people in my strength conditioning room. You know, it's hard to come up with the exact number, but what I would do is if there was more people in the strength conditioning room, I'd put less in the turf. So I do my running and sports-specific training in the turf while there's more weight training. If there's less weight training, then I have more skills of field hockey or lacrosse.
It still sounds like you have a number in mind, though.
I really don't. But do you need me to put a number on?
What would be your worst-case scenario? Say you have your max number of people in the hot pool, max number of people in the...
So one people in the pool at a time.
Parking spots determined by occupants. So what is the occupants in the pool? Chuck.
Yes.
What's the occupancy of that building?
Oh,
fire code, I think it's like 240 or something.
There you go. I'm not really sure, but I can answer your other question. So the traffic study that was done in part to determine the number of parking spaces, because the ordinance allows the applicant to describe the operational facility and how many parking spaces they feel are needed. I think what RGS did was they supported the 32 parking spaces by saying typically it's two or three people per vehicle.
And you did testify you have someone in the parking lot at all times for traffic flow, did I hear you correctly? You have two interns, or are you going to have someone in the parking lot?
What I said... is that during a busy time, for example, during sports metrics, ACL prevention, during our summer on Hockersville Road, what we've done in the past is have two interns helping with parking so that you can drop off and facilitate someone safe out safely. I have two teenage drivers, so I understand exactly what I'm dealing with. I have three total teenagers, so I understand what is at stake for their driving expertise. I'm going to make sure we come in and come out safely.
Mary, there won't be any leagues happening, like where, you know, there's a scrimmage and then the next team comes in and they swap out and there's another...
No leagues.
No leagues.
Does the board have any other questions at this point? Has anything changed with respect to how you're proposing to use the facility between June 2022 and today?
No use has changed. It's...
Again, like I said, we do have a couple other hearings.
Appreciate the board's time.
And I still haven't heard a number, so there's no definitive number that passed.
I think the minimum would be 64. The traffic study is 2 to 3.
again, the traffic study is not part of this, unfortunately, for this hearing, and I'm testifying for that, so.
Off the record, before, we would have no objection to incorporating that from the prior hearing, to the extent that you can do that.
Do you have anything else to present at this point?
Thank you for your time.
Can I just ask, though, that you consider, Pat, that you consider, perhaps they can come up with some suggested language that would accomplish the goal that you, that Mary has, okay? We want to help her. We're trying to be supportive. I will just leave you with this thought. My concern is not what you do with the facility. I believe you, and I think everybody does. But if you were to sell the facility after it was up and running in a year or two from now, you decided you were moving, and you sold the facility. We're stuck with whatever the language says in here, we're stuck with. We don't, it doesn't matter what you testified to 2 years earlier. The new owner can, as long as they meet whatever specifications are in that conditional use. And that was why we felt so comfortable with the first set, because we were like, oh, that's fairly specific. We're good. But if you can provide some suggested language that at least Pat can take a look at and we can consider, I think that will help us get to where you want to go.
So if you use the, and that's fine, but if that's the case, what I would suggest, and I know there's I'm under the impression there was a time crunch for this. Normally with something like that, if you're not done with this, you know, defining what your request is or what would be the best course of action, I would suggest maybe continuing this to the next board meeting, which is
2 weeks.
And again, that would be pretty specific as to what, you know, you're in that condition with respect to the number of potential occupants at any given time. That's the only thing I would say. Normally, I would suggest that that's the case, we shouldn't close the record and it should remain open and continue to the next meeting.
Why does it have to be, why? He's not, all he's offering is suggested language for us
to really consider
the decision.
If you're comfortable with that.
We are comfortable with that. We waive any issue that would relate to that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, or at least have a talk with you in the next day or so, and so you can call us up together.
With the clear understanding that there is a significant concern from the board with respect to the number of people using that use in that zone district, given the type of use that's presented to the board.
Just have to focus on traffic concerns, how late it's open at night, what that means for the neighborhood, just things like that, and then your specific use. And look, trying to be helpful.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. Anything further? Okay, so with that, we can close this public hearing. Public have comment on that application before we close it? No one requested public party status, so no one has requested to make comments, so we'll close the public hearing. Public hearing is closed.